Now let us return to the special KFI anniversary broadcast. Greetings. I'm Hal Perry, the original Great Gildersleeve of NBC Radio, RKO Motion Pictures, and Capitol Records. Yeah, I was pretty busy in those days. I'm delighted to be able to salute KFI for this milestone history. If it isn't too late to congratulate KFI for the excellent job of airing our show locally for many years. Of course, I had to keep buying Packards to get that kind of cooperation. Boy, is that an inside joke. I hope Don Wilson and Ken Carpenter are tuned in. I suppose I'd better tell you that the character of Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve began as a stooge on the Fibber McGee and Molly radio program in 1938. My, how tempest does fugit. Yeah, Throcky was just a stooge, a next-door neighbor to the McGees. Don Quinn, who created the show, liked what I was doing with Throcky, and so he built the character up to the point where I was the number one stooge. 3 years later, I was hot enough with radio audiences to inspire the advertising agency to ask me if I'd like to do my own show. I've forgotten whose hand I kissed at the time. However, let me add, with all the humility I can muster up at this moment, I was the first stooge to, or spring off, from a big radio show to be signed for his own successful radio program. How about that? That's sort of a scoop. The only reason it is because nobody ever cared to mention it before. How about that? And you know something? I don't really care. Almost said a no-no. Anyway, if you're old enough, you may remember that Gildersleeve was a bachelor who went to the town of Summerfield to raise a niece and nephew, Marjorie and little Leroy. It developed, however, that Marjorie and Leroy really raised me. You can't trust writers. But it was a beautiful treatment script-wise, and, of course, we prospered. We had a great cast. That fine young actor Walter Tetley created and played Leroy. Loreen Tuttle first played Marjorie, and Mary Lee Robb later handled the role for many years. Earl Ross was Judge Hooker, the old goat. Bertie, our housekeeper, was Lillian Randolph. Peavy, the town druggist, was played by Richard LeGrand. Arthur Q. Bryan was Floyd, the gossipy barber. And Ken Christie, Police Chief Gates, who sang bass with the Jolly Boys. Gail Gordon played Mr. Bullard. And Richard Crenna, the big motion picture actor, now played Marjorie's boyfriend, Bronco. There are many attempts to marry me off, either to Eve, the schoolteacher, played by B. Benaderet, or to Leela Ransom, the southern widow, who is Shirley Mitchell. I'll never forget my first meeting with Leela.
Thank you, thank you. Let's see, it all started back early in 1942. Wait till I consult my diaries.
Yeah.
I happened to be the air raid warden on my block when I noticed this very interesting blonde move into the neighborhood. I felt it was my duty as an air raid warden to drop in and see her. I felt it was my duty as a gentleman to bring her some flowers and a box of candy. Yeah, I remember it so well. That night I stood before the door of her house and knocked. Give me one dozen roses, put my heart in beside them, and send them to the one I...
Yes?
Mrs. Ransom?
Yes, my name is Leela Ryan.
Well, allow me to introduce myself. Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, your air raid warden, at your service.
Well, how nice.
I just want you to know, Mrs. Ransom, that you can count on me in a blackout.
Why, Mr. Gildersleeve.
I wonder if she's related to Senator Claghorn.
Come in, won't you? Come right in.
Well, thank you. I mustn't stay but a minute, though.
You know something, Mr. Gildersleeve?
No, what's that?
Well, I reckon it's silly of me, but here I am all alone in this big old house, and when I opened the door just now and saw you standing there, I was just scared to death. You look so big and military.
You ought to see me in my gas mask.
Oh, I'll bet you look even handsomer.
You probably say that to all the air raid wardens.
No, I always just say the first thing that comes into my pretty head. Oh, but mercy, I mustn't keep you standing here. Step into the parlor, won't you? Just toss your hat on the table there.
Yeah, thank you. I forgot I was wearing my helmet.
Oh, that's perfectly all right. I hope you'll forgive the way the house looks, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, I'm afraid this is a bad time to call, but as your air raid warden, I felt it was my duty to stop by and check your defenses.
My defenses?
Uh-huh. Against incendiaries.
Oh, I just love a man with a sense of humor.
Yeah.
I declare it's a real comfort to know you'll be around here, Throckmorton.
Yes, sir. Anytime, day or night. I live right next door. I can be over here with the sand and shovel and the fine spray and the stuff in half a minute. But I think I better run along now and come back another time if there's nothing I can do.
Well, there is just one thing, if that's not asking too much.
Oh, not at all.
I reckon I shouldn't ask it of you because it's so heavy a man would have to be pretty powerful.
Can't be too heavy for me. Lead me to it.
Well, it's that high boy there. But I'm afraid it would take two men to move it, really.
Oh, that's easy. Where do you want it?
Well, I kind of thought it would look better down at the other end of the room, don't you?
Yeah, we'll soon see.
Don't strain yourself now.
Say, what's in this?
Well, it's full of perfectly priceless old linens that belong to my grandmother Beecham.
You sure she's not in it?
Throckmorton, I do declare you say the most priceless thing.
Well, they put plenty of stuff in these old linens. Yeah, there you are.
Throckmorton, I don't know how I can ever find you.
Nothing at all.
Before you go, there's just one more thing.
Grandma Beecham again?
No, but the movers left all the upstairs furniture downstairs. I don't know what they were thinking of.
I know what they were thinking of. Brother, this is the beginning of a long and busy friendship. Dear Diary, Monday, I mowed the lawn for Leela. She seemed awfully grateful. I never saw snow this hot before. Never saw a yard so big either.
Throckmorton! Oh, Throckmorton!
Yes?
It looks lovely as far as you've gone.
Tuesday. Well, Diary, I beat the rugs for her today. She liked it. Never could understand how so much dirt gets into these darn things.
Oh, my, that rug looks much brighter already.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, indeed I do. You must be just as strong as an ox the way you beat that poor little thing.
Wednesday. I took down the upstairs screens for her today. She never could have done it by her little self. If this darn screen ever comes loose, I will too, brother. I don't trust this ladder either.
Yoo-hoo, Throckmorton!
Yoo-hoo!
You must be awfully brave, Throckmorton. Aren't you nervous the way up so high?
Oh, no. I used to be a pole vaulter. I'll get this screen out of here some way. Come on, you little... Oh!
Look out!
Here I go! Well, just like Red Skelton. Good night, Diary. Here's an excerpt from our show in the late 40s. My niece Marjorie gets herself involved with two different boyfriends. Marjorie having any dinner, Bertie?
No, sir. Have another hot biscuit, Leroy?
Yeah, I'll take those two that are stuck together. Gosh, imagine Marge not eating dinner for two nights.
Yeah, I don't know what to do about that girl.
No, sir.
I don't know how she does it. She must be sneaking crackers.
Yep. All right, Leroy, I'll handle this thing.
Maybe she's living on love.
Never mind. I did what I thought was best, Bertie. A girl owes it to herself to look around a little.
Yes, sir.
I didn't know Bronco would act this way. Run off like a scared jackrabbit the minute a Harvard boy in a Cadillac came around.
No, sir.
After all, I'm not the smartest man in the world, Bertie.
No, sir.
Where do you suppose Bronco disappeared to, Unc? You think he joined the Foreign Legion?
I doubt that, Leroy. The way he acted, I doubt if he has enough gumption to join anything.
Here she comes, Unc. Yeah,
Leroy, let's be tactful. Let's pretend we didn't even notice she wasn't here.
I get you.
Well, hello, my dear.
Hi. Hello.
Sit down, Marjorie. Perhaps Leroy and I started a little early.
Yeah. We didn't even notice you weren't here.
Yeah. Tactful little fellow.
I might have a little dessert.
Dessert? Good. Take mine. I wasn't going to eat it anyway.
You in love too, Unc?
Leroy. Have a date tonight, Marjorie?
Yes.
Well, anybody we know?
Marshall Bullard.
Oh, Marshall again, eh?
Well, that's what you wanted, isn't it, Uncle Moore?
Well, no, it isn't, Marjorie.
Well, that's what you're going to get. You drove Bronco away, and now you're going to see Marshall Bullard around here until you're as sick of him as I am.
Marjorie.
Hey, maybe that's Bronco on the phone.
I know who it is. Hello? Oh, hello, Marshall.
Zeke.
Why, of course, Marshall. I'd love to. Come over any time. The sooner the better. Goodbye.
That settles it. I've got to get Bronco back in the parlor.
Good morning, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, Bronco, come on into my office.
I got your phone call, but I didn't want to come to your house. I thought it better if we met down here.
Yeah, good idea. Put your little packages on the desk and sit down, my boy.
Thank you, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Where have you been keeping yourself these evenings, Bronco?
I've been sitting in the park feeding the pigeons.
Well, don't you think you should be dropping by the house once in a while, my boy?
Oh, no, Mr. Gildersleeve. No, that's no place for me now.
Oh? Well, what would you say if I told you Marshall Bullard has been seeing Marjorie quite often?
Oh, I'd say, lucky him.
But doesn't it make you a little jealous? Doesn't it make you want to put up a fight? Ask for a date, maybe?
Mr. Gildersleeve, I'm doing what I think is best for Marjorie.
Oh, brother, we're right back where we started.
Marshall has a lot more to offer Marjorie than I have. And all I'm interested in is her happiness.
Yes. By the way, you left all your record albums in the parlor. Don't you think you should drop by and pick them up? No use letting Marshall and Marjorie play Romeo and Juliet.
I'd like Marjorie to have my records. For auld lang syne.
For auld lang syne. I give up.
Goodbye, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Think it over, Bronco. Remember, faint heart near one fair lady.
No, sir. But a Cadillac and a Harvard education can do it.
Oh, my goodness. Say, the boy left his packages here. Popcorn. Must be for the pigeons. What's this book? Life in a Monastery.
Anybody home?
Oh, come in, Judge.
Good morning, Gildy. Wasn't that Bronco I saw going down the hall?
Well, it could have been, Judge.
What are you reading, Gildy? Well, Life in a Monastery. Are you thinking of donning the cloth?
All right, Judge, put the book down. It belongs to Bronco.
Oh? Poor fellow. From what you've told me, the boy probably considers himself a martyr.
I suppose so. He's completely withdrawn from the field, and poor little Marjorie is just eating her heart out.
Too bad. Doesn't Bronco know how Marjorie feels about it?
How can he, Judge? He won't even come near her. I tried to make him jealous so he'd show Marjorie a little fight, but nothing happened. He just blinked his eyes and looked at me like a sick chicken.
Gildy, why didn't you come right out and tell Bronco that Marjorie prefers him to Marshall Bullock?
Well,
Bronco's been belittling himself. But if he knew that Marjorie's happiness depended on him, he'd be over there in a jiffy.
Say, I believe he would at that.
Then you can leave everything up to Marjorie. A woman can't hide her true feelings, Gildy. I know.
Oh. By George, Horace, that's a prize-winning idea. I'm glad you thought of it.
Thank you, Gildy.
Yes, sir. And here's your prize, Judge.
Popcorn? For me?
No, the popcorn's for the pigeons. You get to eat the bag, you old goat.
Gildy!
I feel better already, Judge. You know, I'm certainly glad you see it my way at last, Bronco.
Well, Mr. Gildersleeve, all I've been thinking about is Marjorie's happiness. But if she isn't happy with Marshall around, then he shouldn't be around.
Yeah, that's the spirit, Bronco.
I'm the fellow who should be around.
You said it. Why, only this morning, Marjorie said she was sick of seeing Marshall.
Is that so?
Yeah. You'll see it with your own eyes when we get in the house. A woman can't hide her true feelings, you know.
Well, I don't know much about that. Marjorie's the only woman I know.
Hey, oh, yeah. They'll be in the parlor. Let's go right in.
All right. I know three's a crowd, but if Marjorie doesn't like the fella, I feel like crowding somebody.
Yeah, that's the spirit, boy.
Hello, Uncle Morris.
Good evening, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, hello, Marshall. Guess who's with me, Marjorie?
Hi, Marge.
Well, I haven't seen you in quite a while, Mr. Bronco Thompson.
Not very enthusiastic.
Oh, I've been around. Hello, Bullard.
Well, hello.
Bronco's been pretty busy.
Oh?
Yeah. Nice to see Bronco again. We missed him, haven't we, Marjorie?
Have we?
Must be a window open someplace.
What have you been doing, Marge?
Oh, Marshall and I have been having a glorious time.
Oop.
Haven't we, Marshall?
Oh, yes, we've really been doing the town, as they say.
Marshall is so much fun.
He is?
Yeah, it's good to have Bronco around again. Of course, it's nice to see Marshall, too.
Marshall's been so sweet to me, so thoughtful.
That's fine.
What's she trying to do?
Marshall's a perfect dream on the dance floor, Bronco.
Well, guess I'll be going.
Oh, he's collapsed again.
Now, wait a minute, Bronco.
Yes, don't run away, old man.
I have things to do. Good night, Marjorie. I hope you'll be very happy.
Jellyfish.
Well, I'll be running along too, Bronco. Just stopped in for a minute.
Don't leave on my account.
Oh, no, I was just telling Marjorie I have another date tonight.
You have another date?
Why, of course.
When you're going with a girl as sweet as Marjorie, you have the nerve to go out with another girl?
Why not?
Oh, you cad!
That did it. There he goes.
Marshall Bullard, you're a cad and a bounder.
Oh, Bronco!
Stand aside, girl. Bullard, come outside and defend yourself.
Wait a minute, I'm leaving.
You bet you're leaving. Now, fellas. Now, hold on, Bronco. Run, Bullard.
Come back, you bouncer!
Bronco, stop!
Run, Bullard, run! He made it to his front door just in the nick of time.
Oh, Auntie, isn't Bronco wonderful?
Yeah, and Marshall's a bounder, all right. You see how he cleared that hedge? This is Hal Perry again. I hope you enjoyed these happy memories with me. I know that all listeners everywhere join me in saluting KFI on their 50th anniversary. And one of my special California sponsors, Gibraltar Savings, are also celebrating their 50th. So, congratulations, everybody.
Hello?
Los Angeles, Los Angeles, KFI 640.
This is Paddy Chayefsky. I am very pleased to be able to participate in KFI's 50th anniversary celebration.
You're listening to the special anniversary broadcast marking 50 years of radio history from KFI in Los Angeles. 12 hours of wonderful memories will unfold with a repeat of most of these programs during the daylight time. Truly a memorable occasion. It is the wish of the staff and management of KFI Radio that we may be of even more service and enjoyment to you in the future than we have in the past. Let us continue now with the sounds of yesteryear.
Hello, this is Bud Abbott. Lou Costello and I spent some of our happiest years broadcasting programs heard Wednesday on KFI. And I know if Lou was here, he'd join me in saluting KFI on this 50th anniversary. I think the most popular routine we ever did on radio was our famous baseball routine, Who's on First?
Hey, Abbott!
What do you want, Costello?
Look, Abbott, I understand that you're going to be the manager of the Lou Costello Jr. Youth Foundation baseball team.
Yes, we just organized the thing.
Oh, you did?
Sure.
Well, I'd like to play on the team myself. You know, I know something about baseball.
Well, that would be accomplished.
Well, I'd like to know some of the guys' names on the team, so when I meet them on the street or in the ballpark, I'll be able to say hello to them.
Why, surely I'll introduce you to the boys. You know, strange as it may seem, they give these ballplayers nowadays very peculiar names.
You mean funny names?
Nicknames, pet names, like Dizzy Dean.
Brother Daffy?
Daffy Dean.
And I'm their French cousin.
French cousin?
Gouffet.
Gouffet. Well, now, let's see. We have on the bags, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out.
What silly name. I say who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
Are you the manager?
Yes.
You know the fellow's name?
Well, I should.
Well, then who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow's name.
That's it.
That's who?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who?
Have you got a first baseman?
Who is on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Now tell me who's on first.
That's right.
I want to know what's the guy's name on first.
No,
base.
No, what's on second
I'm
base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know.
He's on third. Now, we're not mentioning third.
How did I get on third base?
You have to mention his name.
If I mention a third baseman's name, who did I say playing third
no,
base?
No, who is playing first?
I'm not asking you who's on first.
Who is on first?
I'm asking you, what's the guy's name on third?
What is on second?
Who's on second?
Who's on first?
I don't know.
He's on third.
There I go, back on third again.
I can't change their name.
You got a first baseman?
Absolutely.
When you pay him off every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar of it. Why not? The man's entitled to it.
Who is?
Yes.
So who gets it?
Sure he does. Sometimes his wife comes down and collects it.
Whose wife?
Yes.
Well, all I'm trying to find out is what's the guy's name on first base?
Listen, what is on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know.
Third base.
You got an outfield?
Well, surely.
The left fielder's name.
Why?
I just thought I'd ask.
Well, I just thought I'd say.
Then tell me who's playing left field.
Who is playing first?
Stay out of the infield.
Don't let your names out here.
I want to know what's the left fielder's
what
name.
What is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base. Look, the left fielder's name.
Why?
Because.
Oh, he's center field. Plays as well as I do.
Look, you got a pitcher on the team.
Wouldn't this be a fine team without a pitcher?
The pitcher's name?
Tomorrow.
You don't want to tell me today?
I'm telling you, man.
Then go ahead.
Tomorrow.
What time?
What time what?
What time tomorrow are you going to tell me who's pitching?
Now, who is not?
I'll break your arm, you say, who's on first. I want to know what's the pitcher's
what's
name.
What's on second?
I don't know. You got a catcher?
Surely.
The catcher's name?
Today.
Today, and tomorrow's pitching.
Now you've got it.
Now I've got it. I don't even... Oh, we got us a couple of days on a team.
I can't help that.
A couple of
don't
days.
Don't get excited, though.
Who's your next side
in? Take it easy. Take it easy.
You know, I'm a pretty good catcher myself.
Tell a dummy.
Now, I'll catch today myself. I'm going to catch.
Yes.
And tomorrow's pitching on a team.
Yes.
Now, tomorrow throws the ball, and the guy up bunts the ball.
Yes.
Now, when he bunts the ball, me being a good catcher, I'll throw the guy out of first base. So I pick up the ball and throw it to who?
Now, that's the first thing you said right.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Well, that's all you have to do.
Is to throw the ball to first base.
Yes.
Now, who's got it?
Naturally.
If I throw the ball to first base, somebody's got to get it.
Yes.
Now, who's got it?
Naturally.
Naturally?
Naturally.
Oh, so I throw the ball naturally.
You do nothing of the kind. You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's it.
That's what I said.
No, you didn't. You didn't.
Did I throw the ball naturally?
But you don't.
I throw it to who?
Naturally.
That's what I'm saying.
You're not playing.
I throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
You ask me.
You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
Well, say...
Same as you. I throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
Now, whoever it is drops the ball, so the guy runs a second.
Yes.
Who picks up the ball and throws it to what? What throws it to, I don't know. I don't know, throws it back to Camaro. Triple play.
Yes.
Another guy gets up and it's a long fly ball to be caught. Why? I don't know. He's on third and I don't give a darn.
What'd you say?
I said, I don't give a darn.
Oh, that's our shortstop.
Bud Abbott again. I know this milestone is just the beginning. In another 50 years from now, KFI will be supplying entertainment to all of Southern California. Thank you for inviting me to join this wonderful celebration.
Hello, this is Groucho Marx. I'm the one with the cigar and the mustache. I think my first appearance on KFI was around 1932. That goes back so far that most of the microphones we used were big square boxes. And I think that most of the performers were big squares, too. It seems to me that Harpo and I did a comedy routine. Of course, Harpo didn't come across very well on the radio, and the spot turned out to be a monologue. After that, we made motion pictures, Harpo, Chico, Zeppo, and I. We spent a day at the races, a night at the opera, and while we were making animal crackers, we really ate well. Somewhere along the way, John Goodell asked me if I do a quiz show for NBC. Can you imagine, after 40 years in show business, they invited me to end up as an encyclopedia? Well, I did the show, and to everyone's surprise, except mine, it was a success. You bet your life.
That's me, Groucho Marx.
We have some college students for you now, Groucho. They were chosen for our audience just before we went on the air. I'd like you to meet them, Miss Carol Lee Ladd and Mr. Marty Halperin. Come on in here and meet Groucho Marx.
Well, welcome, kids, for the DeSoto Plymouth dealer. Say the secret word and divide $100. It's a common word, something you find around the house. College students, Carol Lee Ladd and Marty Halperin.
Right, is that right?
Where are you from, Marty?
I'm from Saginaw, Michigan.
Oh. Carol, what's your hometown?
Los Angeles, California.
Oh. Born here?
Yes.
How old are you, Carol?
19.
What is your age, Marty?
I'm 24.
What college do you attend, Marty?
I'm from Los Angeles State College.
Oh, is there such a place?
Oh, yes.
What class are you in?
I'm the class of 51.
And what's your college in class, Carol?
UCLA 53.
53, huh? 53. This is very interesting. LA State 51 and UCLA 53. I'm a college boy myself. DeSoto 52. Pardon me for not wearing my beanie, but you see, this isn't time for beanie. You may be interested in knowing that I think today's college students are a vast improvement over those in my day. I decided that after looking you over. I wasn't looking at you. But that includes you too, Marty.
Oh, thank you.
What do you think of Carol, Marty?
Well, I can't say all I'd like to say here, but if she ever has any trouble with her homework, I'd be glad to assist.
That's the offensive platoon. I can see what you're learning in college. You're a real bookworm, aren't you?
Well, no.
Don't you realize it's very dangerous to help a girl with her homework?
No, I didn't know.
The world is full of men who started out helping girls with homework. And they wound up helping him with housework. What kind of courses are you pursuing, Carol?
Theater arts. I'm a theater arts major, motion picture and television.
You planning on being an actress?
No, I'd rather be in the production end of it, cutting and editing and sometime a producer, maybe.
Well, if you ever need any advice on the subject of movies and television, be sure to come to me. Will you promise to come to me, Carol?
Well, thank you very much, but my father usually gives me most of my advice.
My guess is that his advice will be not to take any advice from me. What does your dad know about pictures? Does he have a popcorn concession?
No, he's an actor in pictures.
Oh, really? Well, then I probably know him. Your last name is Ladd, you say?
Yes.
Is your dad Laddie, son of Lassie?
No.
Well, who is he?
Alan Ladd.
Oh, that's your father, Alan Ladd?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh. Very interesting. Well, he's a fine actor, and he'd probably sue me for what I said. And your mother is Sue Carroll, huh?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're very fortunate in having such handsome and wonderful and rich parents.
Oh. Thank you.
And they're very fortunate in having such an attractive daughter. What does your father do, Marty? Is he George Raft?
No, afraid not. He's a plastics manager for a...
He's a plastic manager?
Hardly. He's a sales manager for a plastics firm out in another part of town that makes squirt guns.
Oh. Well, in other words, you're a young squirt, is that it? What kind of courses are you taking in school?
I'm taking a secondary education course, which includes such courses as social sciences or... Ed Psych.
Ed Psych?
That's educational psychology.
Oh, why don't you say that?
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry you said it. Carol, let's get back to you for a minute. I'm sure our listeners would be interested in hearing about the home life of a big movie star. How is it around your house?
Oh, it's lots of fun. We have pyramids in the living room floor.
Oh, I thought they had those in Egypt.
No, we have them at home. My brother David is 4, and he's on top. Sister Alana is 8, she's second. Brother Laddie is 14, he's 3rd, I'm 4th. And my daddy's on the bottom. My mother just stands by and worries.
Well, you must be a fine lad to be on the bottom like that. Does anything else happen around the house?
We have handstanding
contests. Well, do you do pyramids all the time?
All
the time,
sure.
Don't you stop for meals or anything?
Well, Daddy...
As soon as you get in the house, all of you quit.
Yeah, right away.
You only need one room for that family.
Daddy's pretty good in the kitchen, too. About 2 o'clock in the morning, he likes to cook.
Well, what does he specialize on in the kitchen?
Tomato soup and sardine sandwiches.
While he's doing this, the other 4 of you are on the pyramid? How does he get the soup to the top one up there? Does he have an inclinator or something?
Remote control.
Oh, I see. Well, Alan is a mighty fine lad, and you can tell him in the future to keep his shade on. Now you're going to play You Bet Your Life, and you know, I think he's about the number one box office in America today, Alan Ladd. He wasn't a number of the polls. He's a great actor, and he's just wonderful. Now you're going to play You Bet Your Life for a chance at $1,000. You run your $20 and more than the other couples. I can't tell you how much you have to win, but Mr. F. out there is going to remind our listeners.
The housewife and the auctioneer lead with $8.
By the way, I just want to remind everybody, a girl in every port, that's the picture I made with Marie Wilson and Bill Bendix. Coming around your way, so hop in your new DeSoto and drive over and see it. It's a lot of fun, and I think you'll have a good time. Let's see how high I can build you $20. You selected songs about places as your category. All right, here's your first question. How much will you bet? You have
$20.
$1950.
$1950,
yeah? Well, this is 1952. Why don't you bet 1952?
I like this.
Let's make it tough for Fenner. All right, 1952?
Right.
All right, give me the name of this song. Jay.
London Bridge is falling down. London Bridge is falling down. Is right.
You now have
$39.52.
You're going for $1,000 tonight. Now, how much of your $39.52 are you going to bet on this?
How about 39?
Right.
Lady, you're going to make it easy for him, huh? Are you enamored of this man, Carol?
Yes.
Not only pretty, but frank. All right, give me the name of this song. Okay, Jerry. Manhattan is right.
You're right. She's doing the work for me. 7852.
I'm an adding machine.
Great.
Wouldn't it be great if they made machines like that? What's the name of this one? How much of the $78 and fine 50 cent are you going to bet? I'll make it complicated, too. Huh?
How about 7802?
All right, 7802.
7802. What is the name of this song? Play, Jerry. Very common. Song of India.
Oh. My favorite. Forgotten.
You have 50 cents.
Up to now.
Not at all.
Good thing your old man is loaded, Carol. All right, how much of the 50 cents are you going to bet?
Shoot the word.
Is this the last song?
This is it. This is the coup de grace.
Well, we can't split 50 cents very well. Let's make it 50. Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
All right. Play it, Jerry. South of the border is right, huh?
1 minute. Get the chance at the DeSoto Plymouth $1,000 question.
That's pretty snappy stuff. And the show was on the radio for several seasons before moving to television. Now here's another excerpt with some gems of comedy.
And now here's Groucho with his guests Ida Lupino and Robert Benchley.
This is my fourth prospect today. I've written three policies so far. I hope I can sell this one.
Oh, hello there, handsome.
I hope I can sell this one a bill of goods. My name is Walter Neff. I represent the Prudapolitan Insurance Company.
Won't you come in, you great big gorgeous hunk of man?
What do you think I'm going to do, stand out here and twiddle my briefcase? Of course I'll come in.
You know, you're kind of cute.
It's a pleasure to talk to you, but I'm here on business. How about a nice accident policy, sugar?
What for? Nothing's going to happen to me.
Want to bet? Say, this is a nice place you've got here. Let's put out the lights.
Put out the lights? I thought you came here to sell me a policy.
With a prospect like you, that's my policy.
Well, you're a pretty fast... You're a pretty fast worker, Walter.
Quit stalling, sugar. Cover my face with kisses.
All right, cover your face and I'll try it.
You know you're crazy about me. Slip into my arms. Just try them on for size. If they don't fit, send them back and we'll give you double your money and a floor lamp.
Well, you're a pretty good salesman, Walter. But I think it's only fair to tell you I'm married.
I think it's only fair to tell you that I'm deaf. Kiss me.
Walter, I said I'm married.
And I said I'm deaf. What's the matter? Can't you hear?
Listen, Walter. The reason I sent for you was to take out a life insurance policy on my husband. A big one.
We'll insure him no matter how big he is. How old is this bird?
Well, he's as old as he's ever going to get. Look, we can do this job together.
You mean?
Yes, if we can trick him into signing that policy, we'll split everything.
Including him.
Oh, he's so dull, Walter. He's so dull, Walter, so dull. He's driving me mad. Every night he eats crackers in bed.
Now, what's so terrible about that?
With veal cutlets? Walter, we've got to do away with him. But it'll take a lot of planning. And we've got to be very careful. You see, he's here right now. He's upstairs taking a bath.
And why don't I run up, hold his head underwater, and we can all go home 4 pages earlier.
Oh, darling.
That's him now. Quick, duck behind that divan.
There's no duck behind that divan. You're quacking up the wrong couch. I'll stand right here and face him.
Say, darling, where can I find a bathtub? Oh, I just know he had company. I'm sorry.
Say, didn't I meet you at the YMCA steam room?
I'll just slip something on and come back.
Fine husband. Is that his figure or did the tub freeze around him?
We've got the word past, Walter. He'll be back in a minute.
Don't worry, sugar. I'll take care of everything. Just let me do all the talking.
Why should now be an exception?
That's better.
You were much pinker before.
Darling, this gentleman is from the Prudapolitan. He's one of their Cracker Jack salesmen.
Good. I'll take a box.
Yeah, take a box. It makes a swell chaser for veal cutlets. Look, I'm Walter Neff. I'm an insurance salesman.
I'm Mr. Didrikson. I'm very dull.
Mr. Neff wants to talk to you, dear. Why don't you sit down?
All right.
I meant on the chair.
Oh, that old thing. Well, what did you want to talk to me about, Mr. Neff?
Insurance. How would you like to take out a nice, big, fat insurance policy?
But I've got some life insurance. $2,000
worth. $2,000
worth.
Don't be ridiculous. It'll cost us more than that to cement you in the cellar.
What's that?
Darling, Mr. Neff is just making you a concrete proposition. Where's that policy, Mr. Neff?
Here's a nice one for $500,000.
$500,000? My life isn't worth that much.
Well, to us it is.
Go ahead and sign it, Dole.
Go on, you big, beautiful dolly.
Now, just a minute. I'd like to know what kind of firm I'm dealing with. Is it an old company?
Old? Why, we're the oldest insurance company there is. Just to give you an idea, we still have a clause that protects you in case you hurt your tail while swinging from a tree.
Well, I wouldn't be interested. I've got a tree. It's better that way.
Well, have you got a swing? I think between us, we arranged it pretty well, didn't we?
Gosh, it's kind of chilly in here. I think I'll stand over here by the fireplace.
Do that, dear. Stand nice and close.
Yeah, preferably with your back to us. Oh, I almost forgot. Please sign this policy.
I don't want to sign it.
Look, Dietrichson, why won't you sign this policy?
Because in addition to being dull, I'm also stubborn.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. If you sign this policy, I'll give you a nice fresh veal cutlet. I just happen to have one on my briefcase.
Breaded?
No, it's pigskin. Here's a fountain pen and a cutlet. Now sign it.
I can't. The crumbs are in the way.
Don't sign the cutlet. Sign the policy, dummy.
Oh, all right. I'll sign the old thing. There.
Fine. Shall we dance?
Love to. Love to. Da 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 da.
Quick, Walter. Walk him over to the window.
Da 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 da.
You've got a victory garden down there. Your turnips are mashed. Come on, let's get out of here.
Okay, we'll use my car and drive into the railroad tracks. Hurry.
Hey, look, this is a pretty good break. You fall right into the back of the car. Get in.
I'll drive.
Make it snappy. Step on the starter. Nice battery. I've seen more juice than a baby's bib. Step on it harder.
Oh, darn this battery. I don't know what to do.
Why don't you turn on the ignition?
Shut up. You're dead. Besides, the ignition is turned on.
Well, it's a good thing we're headed downhill. I'll just release the emergency.
That's another good break. Ah, here we go. There's nothing I like better than a nice drive in the country. Isn't it romantic? Just you and I and that lucky stiff in the back.
How can you talk of romance at a time like this?
Why not?
I'm hungry. Here's a drive-in. Let's get something to eat. Good evening. What can I do for you?
I'll have a hamburger with anything.
I'll have a roast beef sandwich. Okay, anything else?
Make mine a veal cutlet.
There's a busy little body if I ever heard one.
It's the cops. They're after us. Somebody's reported the murder.
Oh, this is awful. For heaven's sake, miss, hurry up with those sandwiches.
Never mind the sandwiches. Step on the starter. Forget the sandwiches. Give us some plain bread. It's no use. The jig is up.
What do you mean?
Those guys in blue suits aren't sailors.
Well, they won't take us alive. Come on, Walter. Let's shoot each other.
It's a deal. I'll shoot you first. Now you shoot me. Well, come on, shoot me. That's a woman for you. They'll double-cross you every time.
My best wishes to KFI on this anniversary. And if you want to have some fun sometime, find a DeSoto Plymouth dealer in your neighborhood. And when you go in, tell him Groucho sent you. He may not sell you a car, but he'll sure give you some funny looks.
KFI a great, great celebration during their 50th anniversary.
KFI, Los Angeles.
50 years of broadcast history are passing before your ears. KFI radio started as a small 50-watt station back in 1922 on this date, April 16. The owner, Earl C. Anthony, watched his creation grow until it became a clear channel 50,000-watt station. KFI has established a record to be proud of. Our only hope now is that the future will find KFI offering even more services and enjoyment than we have in the past. And we'll continue with this special 50th anniversary broadcast following the latest news headlines from the KFI newsroom.